I'm Afshin Ratansi. We're going underground for a special edition of the show. 1 year to the day of the beginning of the Great March of Return, peaceful protesters would see British-backed sniper fire kill or injure over 6,000 Palestinians. Coming up on the show, internationally renowned political prisoner Ahed Tamimi on the British weapons that could be this week hitting Gaza, the largest open-air prison camp on Earth. And the Jerusalem Post's chief political correspondent on what it's like covering an illegal occupier in violation of so many UN resolutions, let alone ahead of an election where campaign videos joke about fascism. Plus, we ask the Palestine Liberation Organization's chief negotiator, Dr. Saeb Erekat, whether Donald Trump's unilateral violation of international law over Jerusalem and Western Syria means the end of peaceful negotiation. All this and more coming up in today's Going Underground, but first, straight to Ramallah in Ahed Tamimi, the Palestinian teenager who has become emblematic all around the world of the struggle for justice in the face of UK armed occupying Israeli forces. Ahed, welcome to the show. 1 year since the start of the Great Return March. How important is peaceful resistance to the occupation?
Of course, resistance in all forms is important so that we can express our rejection of occupation, which is a right to any occupied country to resist in their own appropriate way. Great Return marches in Gaza are meant to express a rejection of occupation, as well as to demand the right of Palestinian people to return to their lands, which were occupied by Israel, who forcefully removed the original inhabitants out of their towns.
Across Britain today, there are marches in solidarity with you and the Palestinians, but let alone today, the Israelis responded to the march in Gaza with sniper fire. What would you say to Theresa May and the British government sanctioning UK exports of sniper rifles to Israel?
The UK government is completely controlled by Israel, who are the biggest supporter of terrorism. They encourage the killing of Palestinian people. All participants in the Great Return March in Gaza are posing no threat to the Israeli soldiers. However, they have been directly targeted. Great numbers of Palestinians, women, men and children who participated in the Great Return March were martyred. UK is completely occupied and controlled by Israel, and it is supporting Israel to kill innocent people who are demonstrating for their rights. The whole world is defeated. We are alone. But I am pretty sure that the Palestinian people will bring back dignity to the whole world, even to the UK, who is supporting Israel. The UK brought Zionism to Palestine in the era of the British Mandate. We will eventually end this occupation. Their power will not last forever. Humanity and right always prevails over fake power.
But Netanyahu says it is Israel that is unfairly targeted with kites, balloons, fireworks and rockets.
As I said, Israel is an occupying entity and the international laws guarantee all occupied countries the right to resist by their appropriate way. Israel has no right to kill any innocent child or anyone in Gaza, even if 1,000 rockets were launched from Gaza. Gaza rockets are a normal reaction for the Israeli presence. We are talking about a besieged country that suffers from severe poverty, with refugees who are not able to return to their lands, which were occupied by Israel. This is their right, and it is a normal reaction to the Israeli presence on their lands.
You have been targeted as a child in the West Bank. The UN says 32 children were killed in the Gaza Return March. Wissal Khalil was the youngest girl, 14 years of age. Israel, is it deliberately targeting children?
Of course they're deliberately targeting the kids. They're barriers which disrupt children from going to school. They don't want them to be educated. They're breaking into schools, closing schools, demolishing schools, arresting children, deliberately shooting children in the streets. They arrested many innocent children. All this reflects that they are indeed targeting children because they do not want a new Palestinian generation to be strong enough to confront them.
But the Israeli Justice Minister Eilat Shaked, who is competing against Netanyahu in upcoming elections, says they have to die and their houses demolished, so they can't bear any more terrorists. This applies to the mothers of the dead. How can Palestinians continue to demonstrate if that's what the words of the Israeli Justice Minister are?
They have no right to harm any Palestinian, and this is another reflection to their terrorism. They want nothing but to kill all Palestinians so they can take all their land. They believe that all Palestinians should be killed, which also shows that they are racist.
Most of those fighting the UK armed occupation are Christians, Muslims, people of other faiths and none. Israel's national law says only Jews should have the rights of self-determination. What did you make of that new law?
This shows the real apartheid and racist system that Israel has. Exactly like what happened in South Africa between the white and the black people. Judaism is a religion like any other religion. But the Zionist movement wants to do whatever it wants under the cover of the Jewish religion. We always say that there is a difference between Judaism and Zionism because there are Palestinian Jews, Syrian Jews, and Arab Jews who are supporting the Palestine cause. The cause is not a religious cause, it is a political cause, where the Zionists want to take over Palestine using the Jewish religion.
Up to 700 Palestinian children are jailed each year. Amnesty International claiming children who are obviously not killed are beaten, throttled, shackled and tortured. Your interrogation was leaked on YouTube. How did you remain silent under threat from Israeli soldiers? They were armed and you were 16.
I was surprised by the huge emotional support that I received from the whole world while I was detained. When I was released and returned back home, I was surprised too by the huge number of people who came to my house to welcome me, which greatly raised my spirits. I hope other detainees in the Israeli prisons will receive the same support that I had, so we can deliver their message and suffering to the whole world.
Your father was on this program as you turned 17 in jail. Remind us how many members of your family have been killed or tortured by Israel.
My uncle, my aunt, and my cousin were martyred. My other cousin was injured. My brother and my other cousins are detained right now. My family witnessed many violations, but we will not surrender to their actions or any other means of putting us under pressure. Even if they kill, shoot, or arrest any of us, we will deal with it as a strength point, not as a weak point. They want to humiliate us, but this will not happen. We will continue fighting till the last day of our lives.
You're in Ramallah. Do you think Syed Nasrallah of Hezbollah was right when he said this week that Donald Trump would recognize Ramallah de facto as Israeli after the recognition of Western Syria, the Golan Heights, as Israeli?
The Syrian Golan Heights and all of Palestine will be free one day, and we will return back to our lands. No one has the right to decide who will take control of the Golan Heights or Palestine or the West Bank. Trump has no right to decide or to give any land to Israel whenever he wants. But we will continue struggling till Palestine and the occupied Syrian Golan Heights are free, until all Palestinian refugees return back to Palestine.
And is it true that you may soon be coming to Britain to study international law to make a career in human rights?
I was thinking of studying in the UK, but when I applied for the visa, they asked why I was arrested and whether I've ever applied for other visas and whether they were refused. And they continue to delay procedures, so I probably will not be able to come to the UK. To be honest, the UK will refuse my visa if Israel requested them to do so. So we'll continue studying in Palestine.
The Tory government, its Home Office, says decisions are actually independent. No possibility that you won't be de facto banned from being educated here?
It is not about having hopes, but it is obvious that their decision is not independent. Otherwise, they should have accepted my visa earlier like any other visas. If they are interested in granting visas for Palestinians, they should allow them to come to the UK without a visa, like the Israeli people. The UK government is racist and it is supporting the Israelis, not the Palestinians, because it considers them as a danger that threatens their country.
Finally, you've said that you are not a victim of the occupation. The settler child forced to fight for the IDF is. Do you pity Israelis?
Of course I pity them, because they are dehumanized. They're only filled with hatred. As I said before, it is not about occupying the land, it is about occupying the mind. The 13-year-old settler who holds a gun has an occupied mind. However, Israel only occupied our land, but they never occupied our minds. We are still resisting the occupation, and the Jewish people should resist and try hard to deliver the real image of their religion. They should deliver a message to all the people that the Jewish people are different from the Zionists who want to achieve their goals under the pretext of advancing the rights of the Jewish people. I think that all forms of resistance are vital and effective, even in short or long terms, and it is a guaranteed right for all occupied countries to resist and fight with their own appropriate way.
Ahad Tamimi, thank you. After the break. What's it like covering a country that the UN says could be responsible for crimes against humanity? Ahead of Israel's election, we get the take of reserve IDF soldier Gil Hoffman, chief political correspondent of the Jerusalem Post. And we ask the PLO's chief negotiator whether years of failed negotiations and Israeli sponsorship of Hamas, now is the time for a united Palestinian vanguard dedicated to war over jaw. All this and more coming up in part two of Going Underground. Welcome back to this great Return March anniversary special. In the first half of the show, we heard from Ahad Tamimi. Joining me now via Skype from a contested Jerusalem is IDF reservist and the chief political correspondent of the Jerusalem Post, Gil Hoffman. Gil, welcome to Going Underground. So you're presumably covering the elections there at the Jerusalem Post. Many people are not going to know who these candidates are. They are going to know, arguably, about your justice minister appeared in this strange advertisement. But also, who is she? I mean, because she's on the record as saying they have to die, the houses demolished, they can't bear any more terrorists. This applies to the mothers of the dead. And then we have Benny Gantz, who was in the IDF during Sabra and Shatila. What should we know about these candidates?
So Netanyahu still has a great advantage in this election. He's the most experienced candidate by far. Benny Gantz is a former chief of staff of the Israeli Defense Forces. And he is someone who wants to make peace with the Palestinians. He is the candidate of the center-left in this election. Afshin, you asked specifically about the justice minister. So, look, Ayelet Shaked is an unconventional kind of leader, and she formed a new party. And in order to attract attention for her new party, she ran a provocative ad. When in the content of the ad was just talking about how the judicial system in Israel, in the checks and balances between the different branches, has taken too much power, and she wants to have reforms, and people can agree with them or disagree with them, but they definitely noticed.
You were obviously in the Middle East during the AIPAC lobby conference in the United States. What are you hearing about any deal of the century, this new deal coming from Washington? Because we heard from David Friedman talking about the complete annexation of the West Bank as part of the deal.
Afshin, what they're trying to do is to have a final agreement so there won't be any questions anymore as to who can build where, as to where the final border is going to be, what's going to happen with the refugee issue of the Palestinians, and guaranteeing long-term security. From what I understand from the plan, in return for whatever Israel gives up, Israel would receive normalization with the Arab and Muslim world that's not aligned with Iran. A lot of what's going on behind the scenes would then become official. In return for what the Palestinians give up, they would receive the Middle East equivalent of a Marshall Plan that rebuilt Europe after World War II, We're talking about $9 billion that would be invested in building up that Palestinian state.
Ahead of the elections, do Israelis feel completely isolated, though? I mean, they've had the UN report about 30,000 casualties in the Great Return March, the UN claiming possible crimes against humanity. We have the nation state law saying Jewish people are held in higher regard by the Israeli state than other communities. Do they feel isolated?
Absolutely not. Israelis have never felt more embraced by the world. You just saw Netanyahu returning from a successful trip in Washington that unfortunately was cut short by the firing from Gaza at Israeli civilians. But he received a tremendous gift from the President of the United States in recognizing officially Israeli control over the Golan Heights, which Israel's controlled for 52 years. From Europe, Netanyahu has gone around and been embraced by leaders there, had trips to India, to Africa three times, became the first sitting Israeli prime minister to visit Latin America and Australia. The Brazilian leader is coming here to Israel next week. And relations with Asia, trade-wise, are
Brazil, obviously, very closely associated with Washington. But I suppose the point one would be making is certainly the European Union here completely condemned the decision of the Golan Heights, as did China, as did Russia, as did the whole world. Are Israelis not in some trepidation that only one group has defeated Israel, arguably Hezbollah? They have said that the Golan Heights annexation is out of the question. It's just not going to happen. Any fears by Israelis that Hezbollah could unite with other liberation movements to, in effect, target Israel in its heartland, where Hezbollah has previously won in Lebanon?
No, Afshin. Hezbollah has been tremendously weakened by the civil war in Syria, where they lost a lot of their top fighters. Iran, their patron, has been weakened by the sanctions put back by the world after Donald Trump removed America from the JCPOA. Israel's security is stronger than it's ever been, and Israelis feel less isolated than ever, even if the European Union decides to condemn and pretend as if Syria is going to go and be given back this area of land that after slaughtering its people. If anything, Europe just showed it still lacks the morality that we wish that Europe would regain after World War II.
And what about the new generation of politicians in the United States that call Israel an apartheid state that are getting more and more traction with the U.S. electorate, arguably? And of course, we have Jeremy Corbyn here in Britain that has repeatedly said that Israel is a state, not only an apartheid state, but one that is obviously, in law, it has to be said, is privileging Jews over other communities in Israel.
Okay, so first of all, in America, what you're seeing is some fringes getting too much attention. You've got a couple of congresswomen who got elected. The overwhelming majority of the Democratic Party is solidly on Israel's side. The relationship between Israel and the United States will always be bipartisan. It's Israel's top strategic asset. What happened in Britain is that the fringe took over. The fringe took over the Democratic Party. Jeremy Corbyn is not someone accepted around the world. His views are extreme. The man embraces terrorists, who the European Union regards as terrorists, not me, who murder innocent civilians. And the fact that the Labour Party in England has elected such a disgraceful man, anybody who voted for him should be absolutely ashamed. Israel's the consensus. Mr. Corbyn is the fringe.
Obviously, Corbyn would presumably deny those kinds of allegations, but just there won't be any reaction to the UN saying Israel could have committed crimes against humanity, 30,000 casualties.
Israel responded in great depth to how that is incorrect. And I think that if the UN wants to be an honest broker, they need to do a much better job of it. And we're seeing how, because of the United States, that's changing little by little. But the Palestinians certainly haven't been helped, neither by the European Union, nor by Jeremy Corbyn, nor by the UN.
Gil Hoffman, thank you. Well, Arab leaders are in Tunis to discuss the international response to Israeli-American violations of international law. One of those leaders is the Secretary General of the PLO, Saeb Erekat. The chief negotiator now joins me for a world-exclusive interview from Ramallah. Saim, welcome to Going Underground. So we now have Donald Trump's Middle East point man, David Friedman, telling AIPAC lobby group in the United States about something called the deal of the century. You have tweeted that Trump should look in the mirror about it.
Yes, thank you for hosting me. I said every time a Palestinian or Israeli is killed from now on, President Trump should look in the mirror and he will know who's responsible. Because once his biblical ambassador, Friedman, says to AIPAC that it's Judea and Samaria, quote unquote, and he says that they need to annex huge parts of it and keep the overriding security responsibility in their hands, after having dictated about Jerusalem being Israel's capital and the Arab-Syrian Golan under Israel's sovereignty. So we really believe that the next step will be annexing the West Bank, and then fourthly maybe to announce their recognition of the state of Gaza. So when they, the superpower, the United States, President Trump, say that acquisition of territory by force is the legal thing, Israeli settlements, which is war crimes in accordance with the four Geneva Conventions, are legal. When he decides from one side to have Jerusalem as Israel's capital, when he wants to have refugees off the table, when he accepts the Israeli nationalist racist law saying that right to self-determination between the River Jordan to the Mediterranean is only to Jews, while we as Palestinian, Christian and Muslims, today, Saturday, 30th of March, we are 50.9% of the population between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean, and the Netanyahu's are 49.1, and the net result will be the widening of the cycle of violence, counter-violence, bloodshed, and extremism.
EU may agree with you about the illegal annexation of the West Bank or Western Syria, but of course Israel, backed by Britain and the United States, has been bombing Gaza and Syria this week. You had preparation for this. What is Fatah? What is the Palestinian Liberation Organization? What preparations have there been for what you seem to be saying is inevitable war?
Tomorrow, Sunday, we have an Arab summit in Tunisia. There is total denunciation and rejection of all the Trump's decision vis-a-vis Palestine and Syria. And by the way, we're not alone. This is the position of the two states of international law, the state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as capital, to live side by side the state of Israel on 67 lines, is the position of the European Union. This is the position of the African Union. This is the position of the non-aligned movement, Latin Americans and the Caribbean. This is the position of the Organization of Islamic States. This is the position of Russia, China, Japan, Canada. So there is not a single country on earth without problems in its demographic fabric and problem in its geographic fabric. I know the Spanish don't want to wake up one morning to find that Trump, with the right price, had recognized Barcelona to be the capital of the Republic of Catalonia. And I don't think that the international community will allow this. I don't think so under any circumstances. Not because of my situation as a Palestinian, which they should support in accordance with the international law, but because of their own interest, their stability, and in maintaining the principle of solving problems by peaceful means.
But even while you were talking to EU diplomats, European countries were sending in weapons to support Israeli occupation. There will be demonstrations here in Britain today for the anniversary of the Great Return March. Britain has been selling record amounts of arms, including sniper rifles. Do the EU people you talk to, the diplomats, all agree with what you've just said, and at the same time send the weapons in?
When we held the Arab European summit last month, in February 25th in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, Europe was represented at the highest level. I mean, Prime Minister Theresa May was there. So if you look at Article 7 to the joint communique, it specified a total rejection of the Israeli occupation and demanded an end of the occupation, including East Jerusalem, considered settlements illegal. So we urge these countries who continue trying to reward Israel that this is not going to benefit any cause of peace. You know, treating Israel as a country above the laws of man and allowing Israel to have impunity will only add fuel to the fire. You will end up with desperation, and desperation would lead to desperate acts, and it would mean enlarging the cycle of death of Palestinians and Israelis, and that's not good. So we urge all countries to hold Israel accountable and to stop rewarding the occupying power Israel.
What you said about a possible annexation of the West Bank, of where you are right now, by British and American-backed Israeli troops and the Israeli government seem to echo what Saad Nasrallah said in Lebanon. Do you think there is unity now between all these liberation groups? Because the news here is your group Fatah is in a civil war with Hamas in Gaza.
Unfortunately, we still have this division between Gaza and the West Bank, and now we're doing every possible effort in order to tell Hamas, which is a Palestinian political party, Fatah has a Palestinian political party, that when we differ, and we differ, we go to ballots and not bullets. As far as the next step of Israel, I think they may move to annex what they call the settlement blocks in Eriel, Maale Adumim, and Gush Etzion, maybe 10 to 15% of the West Bank as the first tranche, and then another tranche. That's the direction of things. That's the direction of things, because when their ambassador tells AIPAC that Israel must have an overriding security responsibility over the West Bank, overriding means total Israeli control of the West Bank, which means de facto annexation, the extrajudicial killing, the demolition of homes, the confiscation of land, the expanding of settlement activities. This is the green light Netanyahu feels he has from Trump.
But the two-state deal is dead, as you said earlier. Arguably the only group that has successfully got Israel to abide by UN resolutions is Hezbollah in Lebanon in 2006. Will you not coordinate in a grand alliance against Israel and use everything from cyber warfare to militancy now? Because negotiations presumably are completely dead with Israel or with Washington.
No, I think we will strengthen our alliance with the international community. We will stand tall with the international law and the rule of law. We count on the international community. We count on the Europeans, Latins, Africans, Asians, everybody on earth is urging us to stay the course with international law.
You're saying that peaceful negotiations will beat Trump and Netanyahu and whoever becomes the leader of Israel after the elections in the next few days?
Well, what I'm saying is if they need to have peace, they need Palestinian consent. And they will never get a Palestinian signature in the short-sighted policies they're taking on Jerusalem and the Golan, on annexation and so on. I will not surrender under any circumstances. And if they're telling the Arabs that you lost, and the only way we can make peace with you is that when you have the strength, the military strength, to regain what you lost by military force, okay. We had our ups and downs as Arabs. If the language of peace and international law doesn't work, and I represent myself only here, I say that my personal stand, my president's personal stand, is that, yes, we need to count on the international community to stand tall in the face of Trump and Netanyahu and to make sure that international law and solving problem by peaceful means will prevail.
Secretary General, thank you. That's it for the show. We'll be back on Monday with legendary broadcaster Jimmy Dore on what's next for Donald Trump after he didn't go to jail for working with Vladimir Putin after all. Until then, keep in touch via social media. See you on Monday.